Broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning, Greenwich, and Happy New Year. 1 week late, but our first show of the year. Thank you for joining me. This is Jen Graziano, and we come to you every Wednesday talking to people that matter, about things that matter, in a place that matters right here in Greenwich. Although the subject matter we're talking about stretches far beyond, we're talking about quality home care today, the changing face of home care, what people need, what people are looking for, and the man who can help connect you to all of that, Stephen Katz, the founder and proprietor of Sterling Care. In addition to wearing that hat, he also sits as the, are you the vice chairman?
The vice chairperson.
The vice chairperson. Oh, very, very politically correct nowadays.
Right?
Exactly. Chairperson. Of the Greenwich Commission on Aging, which is such an amazingly forward-thinking program, such an amazing effort on a part of the government and the town to make Greenwich a wonderful place to live, to age, to grow, to raise your family, to remain here after you've done so. So Steve has wonderful insight with the community survey results that are out. He's going to be speaking at a lecture right after he leaves here today. So even more so, thanks for taking the time to talk
today.
Oh, my
pleasure. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, I want to begin with you and your background, just in case people haven't heard of you. I've had the pleasure of working with you at almost every event that I've lectured at or I've attended. You've been there. So, you know, I do bump into you quite frequently.
We cross circles frequently.
We do. Yeah, we run in the same circles for sure. But a bit about yourself and about Sterling and how it began.
Sure. So Sterling actually, believe it or not, is 10 years old in January this year. January 31st is the
10 year
anniversary of Sterling. Yeah.
For some reason this year, I'm putting everything in context of the past 10 years. 2019, and it's 8-9 days old, has really been eye-opening. 10 years ago does seem like a blink of an eye.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, when I was thinking about it, I was like, wow, it just like started yesterday.
Well, I guess you're having fun. That's
I'm having a lot of fun. We've been growing year after year. You know, we have three lines of business in Connecticut. We are a certified home health agency, which means we're visiting nurses and therapists. We're a companion homemaker agency, and we're a geriatric care management practice. We have specialized programs in dementia and Parkinson's. You've had Amy on your show in the past.
Wonderful, yeah.
And we just opened up an office as a licensed home care agency in White Plains. So we're serving Westchester now as well.
But the need is growing, Steve. And you have witnessed firsthand the changing need, the evolving need, especially with the specialized care that you do. Your agency can provide care to dementia and Alzheimer's and patients with cognitive impairments. Not every agency can do that. What tends to happen is people react in a crisis mode when they realize that mom or dad need help, and they're looking to just fill that position without necessarily researching and doing the homework and checking credentials. How has that specific need grown for caretakers of those particular inflictions?
Well, it's grown quite a bit. I mean, part of it's because of just the demographics, right? I mean, if you actually look at the demographics, it's tripling. The number of people over 65 is actually going to be tripling through 2050.
Tripling who suffer from that?
No. And on top of that, it's more than tripling on the people who suffer from that, from Alzheimer's and dementia. And the reason why is, if you just think about it, in the late 1960s, you were, retiring, and you're probably going to pass away 69, 70, 71, probably have a heart attack or cancer. And now, really, those are not the big causes of death. So now you're living longer. You're living to your 80s, to the mid-80s, right? And you're living with several years where you may need assistance at home. And that's why you see now dementia so prevalent today, because in the late 1960s, you weren't around when you might get dementia. Now, when you may get dementia, which is in your 70s and 80s, people are around. So now it's kind of almost like a new disease that people didn't see as much beforehand because they weren't living as long.
And again, it's not just living long, but it's how we're living. So you're working longer. I mean, are there any connections to how overloaded our minds are and how overloaded we are that we live longer and we live longer doing that? I mean,
there's interesting connections, but it's a little bit almost the reverse of that.
Really?
Yeah. So Cognitive stimulation has been shown to actually decrease your risk for Alzheimer's and dementia. The country that actually has the worst issues with that is France, where they retire earlier.
Really?
Right.
Oh, I guess because the stagnation, when your mind goes stagnant.
When your mind goes, right.
Okay.
So a lot of studies are out there that show that if you, not just work, I don't mean like work at a job, you know, crazy hours a week, but even if you volunteer, even if you go ahead and you retire and you volunteer and you're involved in a board, which fortunately in Greenwich a lot of people are involved in, that cognitive stimulation really decreases, at the risk for Alzheimer's and dementia because your brain's really kind of functioning. You're staying stimulated. You know, if you're a lifelong learner, they always said it's good to be a lifelong learner.
So true.
It's actually true.
And
it's
reading.
Great.
And they
absolutely.
Say, you know, there were several articles about grandparents who babysit.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mom and Dad. I did a lot to give you extra years. So, but it's
well
true.
No,
that's
actually, you know, that's actually, you know, a little bit kind of going around the age-friendly thing. The intergenerational activities, if you look at the Scandinavian countries, they're very, very big into that just for that reason, because it solves two problems. One is it allows kids to grow up with older adults that really can add value to them, and allows older adults to be cognitively stimulated, which adds value to them. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely. There's nothing bad that can come from that. I've always been an advocate of that, even just for the younger generation to learn some wisdom from their older peers and respect and convert. You know, I have so many issues with youth and millennials. I think some healthy time with the aging would be a wonderful, wonderfully positive thing. Let's talk a bit about your role in the Commission on Aging. It's allowed you to be right at the front lines of what the community is lacking, what people need, what the aging population is asking for. And as a result, you're able to tailor the services that you can offer to specifically address those needs. So based on your experience, based on the survey, what are we lacking here as a community?
Well, you know, it's very interesting in Greenwich, and let me give you a little background on the survey and how this came to be. You know, one of my backgrounds is public health. I actually teach public health at Columbia, and I got my master's in public health at Columbia. And Columbia actually has a center on aging. And one of the things that, you know, they were very big into is how do you make livable communities? And so when we talked about this at the Commission on Aging, because part of the commission's role is really not only to educate and advocate, but really to kind of understand what the needs are, you know, we decided that we were going to kind of be progressive and be the first town in Connecticut to become age-friendly and dementia-friendly certified. And that's then that's a real process, but it's a good process. It was developed by the World Health Organization. That's how this all started. The AARP is kind of the American affiliate that's in charge of livable, age-friendly communities.
Okay.
There are, you know, over 300 communities throughout the world that are now considered to be age-friendly.
But that's, I mean, throughout the world, that's such a low
right. And
number.
So, and,
I mean,
and
we're, again,
and in Connecticut, you know, we're the first one that's going to get that designation. But we did this a little bit because we realized that Greenwich has a rapidly growing, like everywhere else, a rapidly growing aging population.
Mm-hmm.
And we really kind of wanted to get ahead of the issues of what would really be like, not just to keep someone healthy, to keep someone safe, but to have a high quality of life as you age. Because,
right.
you know, the truth of the matter is, no one thinks of themselves as being the old person, right? I mean, you know, if you speak to someone in their 60s, no one considers themselves old.
And you're not in your 60s.
Even in your 70s. There's a great picture essay which shows actually older adults looking in the mirror and they see themselves really as younger people.
And you want that. You want to preserve that. You don't want people to necessarily think that there are limitations that have to come because they've hit a certain age. You know, the problem becomes that as you are aging, you could be the healthiest person and it would take one event or one even seemingly minor fall
right.
or shift in circumstance that could totally alter the course. And then what happens when you're ill prepared for that next
well,
step?
Well, that happens, you know, that happens a lot. And there's a whole discussion on that of a lot of times what happens is you see that, you know, you can need additional help, even things like just modifications of a home.
Right.
And you put it off and you put it off and then you have the event and then everyone kind of rushes in a reactionary mode.
Absolutely.
You see that in your business
it's
as well.
It's so true. Even pre-planning versus planning after the fact. Oh, my gosh. I have no idea, you know, what mom or dad wanted.
Right.
So you have to live with the balance of being, you know, enjoying you living and not letting age stop you, but also being mindful somewhere of the plans you need to have in place.
Right. So what the age-friendly survey does is it takes different domains. It's like eight different domains of what they consider to be, you know, an age-friendly city. And we look at kind of transportation, social participation, you know, how do we have respect for the elders and inclusion of people, because ageism is a big issue. You know, just as a fun fact, you're more likely to have people of different genders, different races at your, you know, Super Bowl party than you are to have different age brackets.
That's very interesting.
It's a very interesting fact. We looked at open spaces and building. You look at housing. You kind of want to look at, you know, obviously health, information, communication, and civic participation and ability to be employed. Because a lot of older people still want to work, even if it's a part-time job.
That's a wonderful point, too. And again, there's so many benefits, you know, even the socialization aspect, too. I mean, that yields physical health
socialization
benefits as well.
As a matter of fact, there's a lot of studies out there that show the number one predictor of health for an older adult is how much they're engaged and how much they socialize. Because then they
makes
have more
so
of a sense of purpose. So,
yeah.
So if you really kind of, you know, look at it, we did a survey, and the goal of the survey was to kind of understand what people's perceptions were along each of these categories. And we layered on to that, you know, a ninth dimension, which was for dementia friendly, to kind of get a sense of what people felt about the supports for people who have Alzheimer's and dementia. Did they self-identify? And later on to that, to become a dementia friendly community. And, you know, what you found is very interesting, because the way the survey works is we took the model from the World Health Organization, the ARP.
Mm-hmm.
We tailored it a bit to the uniqueness of Greenwich. We got it approved by the AARP Livable Community Director, and as well as the commission, and we have an advisory board.
Okay.
And we gave the survey out, and we had a tremendous response. I mean, we were hoping maybe we were going to get 500 responses for a valid survey. We got over 1,800 responses.
Oh, my goodness. So you really had a pool of data that you could analyze and, you know, and address
right.
needs, deficiencies, concerns.
It was actually beyond even what we, anywhere we thought
that's
that
amazing.
We would wind
that's
up getting
amazing
as a response.
That's an amazing response.
Which actually shows how important the issue is, because
absolutely.
People don't take their time to respond. And this was a fairly lengthy survey.
Yeah, no, I do remember seeing it.
High value to it.
Yes. Admittedly, I'd be one of those people who
right.
just like.
And the goal of the survey is to kind of look at people's perceptions of different items, because this is what the really survey does. It says, how important are certain items to you? And do you think the town has them? Or don't you know that the town has them?
Mm-hmm.
And these are kind of obvious perceptions, right? And then what we are going to do next is we're taking those perceptions, and the town actually has a lot of data. So we're actually going to compare the perceptions to the actual data.
So perceptions versus reality.
Right.
Basically.
So for example, if you say, you know, Greenwich doesn't have that many town benches, but we can actually look at the data and say, we know how many town benches it has and what's, you know, the average for a town to have in benches, then we can actually match the two and see if there's a real gap or not. So we're going to take the survey data, which I have out in the report.
Yes, I'm excited
and then, right,
for you to share
and then
some of this
and then
with
we're
us.
Going to go and look at the reality, and then from that we're going to create what they require you to do is create a 5-year action plan. So you take the highest value items and a lot of the low hanging fruit,
mm-hmm.
and say how are we going to correct some of these issues,
yeah,
and some of the stuff that's harder to do is a little more difficult. So if you get to looking at some of the survey results, right, you know, if you want to look at the kind of top, you know, the top 10, interestingly enough, almost all of them had to do with transportation and outdoor spaces and buildings, which was kind of interesting to us as well.
So most of the surveys came back that this was a need people had for transportation?
Well, this is things that they thought were very important.
Were important.
For the town. So it was very interesting, because you might have said maybe social participation would be higher, maybe health would be higher, but the real ones that people focused on, interestingly enough, was transportation and outdoor things, such as do you have well-lit streets? How good are your intersections?
Okay.
You know, do you have well-maintained parks? How is your traffic signage and traffic
lights?
You're right.
I mean, I wouldn't transportation I get, because you need mobility. You need to get from one place to another. You need access to transportation, especially if you are no longer driving. But you're right. I wouldn't have assumed that the latter part with the outdoor spaces and buildings and that infrastructure would have been among the primary
concerns. And if you think about it a little bit, it kind of makes sense, because people in Greenwich are very engaged. They want to go to places. If you want to go to Todd's Point and the restroom isn't really age-friendly, it's very difficult to actually go to Todd's Point.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, even if you want to take a stroll on the avenue, you know, you need a place to stop and sit.
Right.
You know, like a midway point. They're wonderful and very important things to think of. But again, I can see where, you know, it's interesting that that is where that such heavy weight
right. was placed. So there was a lot of weight that was actually placed on, you know, placed on that. And there was a lot of gaps in when you actually kind of look at the report in what the, what, you know, the importance versus what they actually feel that the town actually has on that. Right?
Okay.
So, you know, does the town have adequate public transportation? Does
they find that they do or they don't?
No, they, you know, I think that there's a feeling that it's lacking, that if you really can't drive, and in Greenwich does have a lot of resources compared to other towns, but it's still very difficult. If you cannot drive to get around town, remember, we're a very geographically dispersed town.
Well, Greenwich is huge. It's
right.
So true. So I mean,
you know,
from one end to the other.
If you have to go to a doctor's office and you have to kind of figure out where you want to go, it's kind of hard to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
The other part which really, you know, hit out of here is that you had a large amount of people. I mean, really, I mean, this actually, I think, was the one thing of the survey that kind of, you know, kind of grabbed everyone by surprise. The vast majority of people would like to stay in Greenwich to age in place. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So they want
to
stay here. There's not this. They don't want the mass exodus to Florida.
They don't want
to remain here.
Right. If you actually look at the data, and you go through this, you're really kind of seeing that, you know, really over 90% of the people who are in town want to be here.
Over 90%. Wow, that's huge.
Right, but unfortunately, only 47% think they're going to be able to afford and stay.
There's a big gap right there. And is it because of, you know, cost of living? Is it because of taxes? Is it because of limited mobility? You know,
a lot has to do with a combination of it. It has to do with, obviously, with cost of living is one factor. Mm-hmm. Having the right size type of housing for aging in place, right? So if you live in a house in backcountry and midcountry, and you want to downsize in Greenwich, it's very difficult. If you want to go to an assisted living facility in Greenwich, very few options.
Difficult. And what you see so much development and building, but they're more catering to the bedroom community apartments now,
right,
with the railroad access, walk to the train, more of a fun lifestyle, millennial type building.
That's right. But if you've been in town a long period of
right.
time, and now I want to stay here, I have all my friends here.
Yeah, no,
right?
You don't want
and
that
I'm
type
used
of
to the,
building.
My doctors
sure.
are here, and I'm
yes.
here, and now I don't really need that big house anymore, but I really kind of want to downsize.
Right.
Where am I going to live? Where is it going to be affordable to live? Downtown now is very expensive, right,
Absolutely.
To live down off the avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I do need a little help, if I need a support, you know, is there going to be a place for me to go to that's in town, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Nathaniel Witherall is wonderful. It's a wonderful skilled nursing facility. But what happens before you need skilled nursing?
Yeah.
Right?
What happens is that in that gap between, you know, when you need a little helping hand
right.
till that full-on onset of
right.
care, continuum
of
care.
So that's something we're going to be delving a bit more into, especially because now that they have the plan of conservation and development,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going through, and we've been talking to planning and zoning about, you know, what may be the housing needs in Greenwich and how can we have housing for older adults across the income span, because it's not just affecting, you know, very poor people. It's affecting middle class. It's affecting everywhere across the income span. We saw it. We saw it throughout the different neighborhoods in Greenwich as well.
Okay. In terms of the different neighborhoods, did you see there was areas in Greenwich that are experiencing a more rapid growth in an aging population? Do you see people considering maybe going to different parts of town, or are they kind of the mindset that, you know, if you're from Riverside, you're going to stay there?
I think it's more has to do with, you know, people wanting to kind of, you know, downsize,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you really have a...
Stay in the vicinity just in
a more manageable
place, right?
Which you can understand, right?
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you
Absolutely.
Can understand it. And, you know, people are thinking about, like, if we are going to stay in our house, if we can't really find somewhere else, how are we going to modify the house? Right, because they talked about, like, you know, the number one thing people talked about, over 50% of people said they may have to do bathroom modifications.
And again, it's such a common thing, and your life could change overnight. It could be one minor fall. You know, we have the winter months coming. A little slip on ice could just change the course of someone's life and health, where the area rugs might not be able to be in the living room anymore because a cane or a walker could slip on them. The
Absolutely.
Bar needs to be installed in a shower.
Even stairs to get into a house, right? How
absolutely.
Hard is it to, you know, if you say, gee, I now have to put a ramp. How am I going to do, you know, what am I going to do with the stairs? Look, I just redid two bathrooms in my house, and in both bathrooms, I actually put behind the walls, so I know where they are, pieces of wood. So if I want to install a grab bar later, I can just
forward thinking.
Put it right in, right? It's not a big deal. It's a little piece of wood that's there, but
absolutely.
You don't have to open up the wall, retile, and everything else to do it.
Forward thinking. You see this every day, and you're mindful of how we have to think. And, you know, no one lives with the worst case scenario in mind, but forward thinking and planning ahead is
never a bad thing. It's not even the worst case scenario. You know, I always see aging, you know, people always talk about aging as a decline. I see it as an opportunity. If you can set yourself up to live well at any age. It doesn't matter the age
that you're in.
That's
exactly true.
You can thrive and have a wonderful lifestyle. It's really a matter of setting
yourself
up.
You're still
you.
Living. Absolutely. Just living, you know, living with whatever you need to live your best life that you can.
That's absolutely true.
So continuing on, what about the healthcare needs in the community? Did people find there were a lack of options for, like you said, assisted livings? Are there any assisted livings in Greenwich?
There are in Greenwich, right? There are definitely assisted livings within Greenwich. I mean, you actually have the Muse that's right off of Greenwich Avenue
mm-hmm.
here. You have the Greens, which is a lot of dementia. But if you really look at, you know, around us, right, people are building brand new assisted living facilities in Stamford. They're building them in Darien. They're actually building one on SUNY Purchase's campus. That's going to be an intergenerational one,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're building all around Greenwich. They're not building in Greenwich.
And what are you, your personal feelings on that?
From
what do you
speaking
think the
to a lot
are?
Of people in the industry, it's the issue of zoning and affordability, affordability to make the projects work.
Absolutely. In the land.
So it's a combination, you know, in a little bit, I think in Greenwich, specifically, the town has to be proactive. Because it's, you know, the affordability and the zoning, if it really wants assisted livings in the town, I think it actually has to encourage them to be here by kind of showing them where they can be and what they can do. Because it seems that it's very, you know, a lot of them have expressed a lot of frustration with, you know, how am I going to find a place to have my building in the town? Is
mm-hmm.
it going to work? And I think so. I think it needs almost a little proactivity on the town side.
Well, you know,
that's
again,
just a personal thought.
But the results of the survey, you know, when people are talking now and there's a 5-year action plan, who knows if that
right.
could be part of it.
You had a lot of people talk about need for affordable home care. I mean, there's a lot of talk. There was a lot of people who answered the survey talked about the need of affordable home care. There's a concern that not enough doctors are going to be wind up taking Medicare, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's a lot of these different needs that are coming, you know, that are coming about. And what our goal now really is to kind of address what these different needs are, kind of put them into different categories and see which ones, you know, we can take some action on quickly. And some of them, like housing, is a hard one. It's a
exactly.
hard thing to do.
You know, a lot of this is, you know, beyond the scope of reach
right.
for the municipality. You know, it goes up to the lawmakers on the
right.
state and federal levels. But again, having this information, you can go. I mean, we have a very in touch delegate that goes up to Hartford. Fred Camillo has sat here so often. So connecting this information now to the people in the proper places is going to be key. And it seems like you're certainly doing that. Bless you, Bob. A lot of it is fixable. But again, without knowing the needs, how can you act?
Right. So the nice thing about this survey is it gives you a baseline, right?
Yeah.
So now we have a baseline of what the survey is. If we do the survey again in 5 years, we can see how that baseline now has changed.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, it's an incredibly proactive thing on the part of the town of Greenwich that they have the Commission on Aging, and they are striving to make this livable community. About 300 in the world, you said, that have which designation? The designation
it's age-friendly.
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 So it's very forward-thinking. It's a lot of work that's involved. I know you work closely with Lori Contadino, and she's amazing.
Lori has been a tremendous leader in this. So is Patricia Burns, who's the chairperson
of
the Commission.
Absolutely.
As well as all the commissioners.
You're all champions of the cause, and you're all passionate. And again, through our lines of work, we see the results of when people don't have their needs met as they're aging. So there's a deep commitment to changing the course here. Are there any other findings that you'd be able to share with us, things that may have surprised you or on a personal business note, how are you taking this information to reflect what you need to do for Sterling Care?
Well, you know, from my, you know, I'll just say from my own business level, I mean, none of this findings actually surprised me, you know, in what we kind of already knew. You know, we did know that people, you know, if they can, would prefer to age at home. They're going to live longer with different sorts of chronic illnesses. We have to be prepared to support them in different sorts of ways. You know, at Sterling, we're actually experimenting with technology in the home to help people to engage them so that, you know, to combat social isolation.
FaceTiming and Facebook.
We're doing a thing with actually Amazon Alexa with a company called SoundMind.
Wonderful.
Because I'll think about it. We have so many events in town. But if you're homebound, you can't go to them.
Right.
Right. So you can live stream them. You can drop in on your parents. You can actually set a home environment. So there's a lot of things you certainly can do. So from our business perspective, you know, our goal is always to be on the forefront of what's going on and be very progressive on that. From the town side, I think a lot of what you're going to see in the survey is really going to focus on also engagement. People certainly want to, you know, it's very clear from the survey, which is a little surprise, people certainly want to be able to be work, even if they have to be retrained, and kind of keep some sort of job.
You need that reason to get out of bed in the morning.
You need a purpose. Engagement and purpose is a big thing. Connecting those resources, who does the job training, what volunteer spots are open, that's something Greenwich doesn't have, but it's easily fixable, right? If you take a technology thing and I have a portal where I can say, look, here are volunteer opportunities that you can do. Here's a job training. Here's continuing ed courses you can have that's geared towards older adults. That's a very easy, fixable, non-expensive do.
Absolutely.
That can have a
but
big
it would
impact
have, it have
in
just
town.
So many impacts. That's so many benefits. So Steve Katz, Sterling Care, again, you are providing quality home care. You have your finger on the pulse of the aging population in the community. You see what they need. You see what's lacking. And you're tailoring your home health aides to help them and to fix these problems.
And I got to tell you, it's really not just about, I have a wonderful team. I mean, the nursing staff, the therapists. I mean, it's a whole, you know, pretty big operation now.
No, and I've seen it firsthand. I see what you're offering out there. Again, I've been to many lectures on the circuit with you. How do people get in touch with you? I want people to take away today. It's always good to have a plan in place. Do your homework early before that home health needs arise. And you're a great guy to connect with.
Right. You can always reach me at 203-532-0500. That's 203-532-0500 or sterlingcare.com.
And look for you on the circuit for the Commission on Aging. Steve Katz, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck
thank
at your
you,
lecture
Jen.
This afternoon. And this is Jen Graziano thanking you for taking the time to listen as we took the time to talk. Have a great day, Greenwich. Bye-bye.
Listening to the station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
And on short time, shutdown lengthens. I'm John Trout. Rod Rosenstein is planning to leave the Justice Department. The Deputy Attorney General has managed the Special Counsel Robert Mueller Russia probe since May of last year. Correspondent Jessica Schneider has more.
The plan right now is for Rod Rosenstein to depart after the President's new pick for Attorney General, William Barr, is confirmed. And with hearings on William Barr set to begin next week, any confirmation of him likely would happen in mid-February at the earliest.
President Trump, in an address to the nation last night, is holding firm to demands for congressional approval of southern border wall funding.
The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security.
Trump's speech was met with pushback from at least one Democratic senator this morning.
He wants immigration as a talking point to rev people up, and he's willing to say anything. Mexico will pay for it. That was a lie. Democrats are for open borders. That's a lie.
Virginia's Tim Kaine. The political stalemate has left parts of the government closed for 19 days, but there is a move in Congress to reopen some agencies.
The Democrats in the House are starting to take action to reopen individual agencies of this government not tied to this border fight today. The House was going to pass a bill to reopen the Treasury Department along with the IRS.
Correspondent Manu Raju. Emergency services in Australia are responding to multiple reports of suspicious packages delivered to at least a dozen consulates and foreign embassies in the country.